Hello, it is Thursday, October the 12th, in the year of 2022. How are you doing today? Praise God. He is still on the throne and the sun is shining and it's kind of crisp and clear here in Marion, Ohio, which is 50 miles north of Columbus, Ohio. Maybe some of you have heard of us, maybe some of you have not. This is the home of President Harding and also the home of Mary Ellen Withrow. Amen. We're thankful this morning, very thankful to just being in the land of the living. Well, this is Linda Sims, and you are listening to on WGH Talk. The name of the show is called The Voice of a People. We will be doing Bible study today with my guest, Jeff Porter. But let me share some other things with you first. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Or you can download from your Play Store an app called TuneIn on any electronic device, cell phones, iPhones, laptops, or computers, or even my Chromebook. You can download that app called TuneIn. And once you do that, please search WWGH. Or call in during this live broadcast, like right now. Phone number 740-383-9944. Write that number down for future reference. Anytime you know you want to call in or say something, please do. Again, that number is 740-383-9944. We offer you these opportunities so you can be a part of the conversation and voice your opinion or your thoughts. Okay, let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street in Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-382-8552. Or Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement is free produce every third Saturday of every month. This one will take place this coming Saturday, October the 15th. It will begin at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Last but not least, Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. Owner, Cheryl Lee. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-262-0939. Okay, now don't forget, early voting has begun, so make sure you early vote during the time frame that has been allotted to us to vote. Let your voices be heard. It's very important that you voice your opinions. And this is a way that we can confront our concerns about our nation and our cities and our states and the way that, the direction that we are going in. If you're not happy, let your voice be heard. If you're happy, still let your voices be heard. Early voting, okay? Now, I like to start my show off with a thought for today. This thought is titled, Dance in Happiness. The easy way to remain happy is to remain constantly light. Pure thoughts are light, and waste thoughts are heavy. Therefore, keep your intellect busy with pure thoughts, and you will become light and continue to dance in happiness. We only have to make sure that we continue to give happiness to others without any expectations. For this, we have to increase our own treasure of happiness by continuing to be happy under all circumstances. And people say, well, how can you do that when sometimes you just get so angry at people and angry at the way things are going on in this world and find out that we're powerless over a lot of things, you know? How can I remain happy? How can I remain content? I can only share some things that has worked for me and continue to work for me. You have to keep things light. don't allow yourself to dwell too deep into your thoughts or your opinions or the opinions of others. Just keep it kind of light, you know, where you can just laugh it off or whatever and hug and kiss after it's all over, right? Depends on...
I don't know if I'd be doing any of that. Might.
Depends on who, you know.
Depends on who it is.
Right, depends on who it is. Or shake hands, you know, but... You know, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy to lose your peace and to lose your happiness and to lose your smile. Because your smile is your dormant, and it's the first thing that people see when they meet you face to face. Or they can even feel it, you know, even if you're on the phone. You can tell if a person is smiling or has a frown on their face by the way they, you know, answer you. You can really tell, you know, the difference. So let us learn to dance in happiness and keep our conversations and our opinions light and not heavy. Okay? So I thought I'd share that with each and every one of you, and hopefully I spoke in clarity and I didn't mislead you any type of way. But, you know, God is a God of peace, and we have to learn to walk in peace. But thank you if this is your first time listening. Thank you so much. Hopefully it will not be your last time. And those of you who faithfully listen, thank you for your continued support. Now I will turn my attention to my guest today, Jeff Porter. He is the author of a book called Expressions of the Last Days. How are you today?
Okay. I'm doing okay.
All right.
Fine.
Yes. Beautiful day, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We've been having some nice days in October here.
Oh, yeah. Should. It's not that late in the season. But, you know, winter can be also beautiful.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's a little cold and chilly, but it is.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm just real fond of winter.
Don't you like those snowy days when it's all white and pure out there?
No. I don't mind watching the snow come down from behind a window. I don't like being cold. Just don't like it.
I don't either. You have to put on all those extra clothings and...
Yeah, I talked to this one guy. He likes to ride his motorcycle in the winter. And I said, how do you do that? He said, well, I wear thermal underwear and I wear this and that. And I said, doesn't that take all the fun out of it? He said, no, I can stay warm with all that.
Wow.
I said, well, you're welcome to it because I ain't riding no motorcycle in the middle of the winter.
No, you might hit a patch of ice.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't
want to
do that. Yeah, you don't really want to do that.
Especially when you're going around a curve.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So you might want to go a bit slow, but that might not help you.
And it might not. And it might not. And not only that, that cold, brisk air hitting you in your chest and in your face, you know, on those motorcycles. No protection.
Well, a lot of people have windshields. I wear a helmet with a shield.
What about your face? Oh,
yeah,
okay, the shield covers your face.
That's why I wear a helmet, mostly, is because of the shield. I don't like that strong wind hitting me in the face all the time, or bugs.
Right, right.
Bugs. I went down by Elm Creek one day, and all these dragonflies were hitting my helmet. I thought, sure glad I got a helmet on.
Ooh.
That would have been bad, getting hit in the head with dragonflies.
I know exactly what you're saying. I don't think I could deal with it, though. I'm not that motorcycle friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or bicycle friendly. I broke my leg on a bike. So.
Oh, did you?
My ankle. Yeah. Real pretty bad break, but.
But you can get killed in a car.
Yes.
Just as easily, really.
I know. I've been fortunate. Very fortunate.
I've been in several different kinds of accidents. And I'm paying for it, too.
Well, you know, like they say, like the Bible says, we pay for the deeds done in this body.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be accidents or and we have to also realize that, you know, we were born in sin with a sin nature, so, and in a fallen world.
Yeah.
You know, and it's tumbling.
Sometimes God uses that stuff to humble us, too, you know.
Yes, he does.
To keep us from start thinking we're hot stuff and, you know.
Without trials and tribulations.
He doesn't like pride, that's for sure.
No, he does not. And without trials and tribulations, you're right, we may not have come to Christ.
No one enters the kingdom of God except through trials and tribulations.
So we can expect that.
Yeah. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Right.
I mean, I think back about all the different times I've been in the hospital, which I never would have fathomed, you know, that stuff could happen to me. And I was in there because of that car accident, and then heart attack, and then congestive heart failure and type 2 diabetes. And, you know, I thought, man, I never thought I'd see this much hospital. But that's the way it goes sometimes, you know. But I came out and I recovered.
Live and well.
Yeah.
Back on the radio.
Yeah.
More than you ever thought you'd be.
Yeah.
God is good, isn't he?
He is very good.
And faithful.
But there were times in there which, with the pain, that was enough of the pain. Getting stabbed and studded.
I'm sure.
Nurses come in there. All right, turn over. Put your arms up like that. No, like that. Okay.
There are those, There are those nurses that are stern.
Yeah. Yeah, I found that out.
Yeah, they're
grouchy nurses.
Well, they are the types of nurses that you understand.
They're serious.
They know how to get your attention, yeah. Absolutely. And they are serious about their job, you know, and about your health.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's a good thing, a real good thing.
Yeah.
I opened up the show with a thought for today that was titled Dance and Happiness. How do you think about that? Did you listen to that thought?
Well, I don't know if we're supposed to be pursuing happiness as a Christian. We're supposed to be trying to win souls, and sometimes that don't bring some happiness. Brings difficulties a lot of times. Maybe I don't handle my difficulties that good. I don't know. Somebody trying to contact you?
Yes, they are. And I will do this. Hopefully, they'll get it this time. All right, I can't take time out to answer the call, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to...
Try to explain to them?
Yes, I did. Thank God for text messages. Don't you like these new phones you have? If you can't get in touch with the person, at least you can text a message, right? And then get it that way, too. Okay, now, pursuing happiness and dancing in happiness is two different things.
Yeah. I don't think Paul was happy all the time.
But he rejoiced in God.
He got stoned and dragged through the water and had a viper bite him.
The snake, right, just shook him off.
Yeah.
You know, oh my. The trials and tribulations he went through was astonishing.
Yeah, and they threw Christians to the lions.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not concerned about a person being happy so much as if they're following the word. You know, if you're following the word, you may not have all happiness all the time. It's just difficult. You have difficulties a lot, so, you know, you may take sit down and sigh, say, okay, tomorrow's another day. It would do better.
Well, I guess I see where you're coming from. But, I'm going to have to take this. Go ahead. Talk.
You know, I have a contention with Christians in this area because this is America. And we don't have to go hungry here like other countries. And so we have to put some food in our stomach before we can feel some happiness. Okay.
Had to take that. They wouldn't get. They evidently they weren't getting my message. So, hey. No, I'm sorry, Jeff.
That's all right. We'll forgive you this time.
Continue.
Okay. Well, yeah. I don't want to dwell on that subject anyway.
Okay.
We all have different opinions.
Yes,
about
we
that.
Do. Yes, we do. And like I said, keep it light.
We're not, you know.
I saw a change. I saw a change in that continence. Keep it light, okay? Just
yeah.
Keep, all right, I did.
Well, you and I disagree about stuff all the time.
Absolutely.
We don't become enemies.
That's true. So true.
You know, you just kind of put it in the light category, gray or whatever, and not let it bother you.
That's so true.
That's I learned that from handing out tracts.
Oh yeah.
People will get on your case out there, you know. But I had people that ask sincere questions, and they're serious about those questions.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you messing with them. You know, they say, well, what about Noah's Ark? You know, how'd they get all those animals on there? And all that. And, you know, you sit there and you have to, sometimes I had to say, I don't know. I have to go look it up. Are you going to be here tomorrow? You know, because I didn't always have all the answers. And I never will have all the answers, but I got a pretty good library at home. I can look up stuff. So I had a relative who said, why don't you get rid of all those books? How do they clear blue? You know, Satan gets up every morning and puts on his clothes and starts his work, you know. But we're not ignorant. Satan could take advantage of us in Second Corinthians 2:11, at least Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Although I have been at times, and he did take advantage of me. You know. Do you ever have Satan steal some money from you, or an object, or
trying to steal my soul, yes. All yeah. kind of stuff, you know.
Trying to lead you down the wrong path.
And that spirit of fear is no joke.
No. No, I've been through a lot of fear.
It's no joke.
It's hard to deal with. You know, that time we were talking about the Exorcist movie on here, and Satan tried to come on me with fear that night.
Did he?
Yeah. That was a really bad episode of fear with the Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I have never experienced a fear even like it. I don't know what William Peter Blatty, I don't know what goes, how he lives with that darkness in him, but, ooh, some nasty stuff, man.
Yes, it is, especially The Exorcist. I can't, I don't even want to go back there. I remember how, when we left that movie, we were running out of there. We was in Columbus.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, we was hightailing out of that theater. It was, woo.
Yeah.
And then when I got home, I had the book in my bedroom and start hearing noises. I got up in the middle of the night, took that book to the dumpster, and threw it out, you know.
And that got rid of the noises.
Yes.
Yeah, good.
Yes, it did.
That stuff happens.
You know, sometimes when we were young and growing up and we opened ourselves up to different things, had no idea what we were doing.
No.
You know?
Well, you know, I told you about this one pastor. He is an American Baptist. And sometimes they don't take the Word of God seriously enough. And he was taking my mom to visit a Spiritist church. I think, did I tell you about that? And I would, I'd go over there and say, now look. You know, look here, it says in the Bible right here, sorcerers will find their place, have their place in the lake of fire.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that. So God thinks that messing around in the occult is an abomination, is what he says.
My.
And she said, somehow, every time she went to that church, I found out about it. She goes, how do you do that? I said, the Holy Spirit shows me.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't participate in the church services, but they went there to eat in their dining room. You know, I don't think they ever went to their services. But I saw him one time at Steve Dakota's, and we got into a big argument. But one morning, when Mom had her stroke, and I had her in and out of rest homes, she was home for a while, and I got up and I heard her talking in the living room. And it was early in the morning. I was, who's she talking to this time in the morning? And I could hear a female voice talking to her. And I opened the door and I looked. There was nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff is due to messing around, going to a spiritist church like that. That stuff's going to happen.
Right. And opening.
Demon follow you.
Right.
Because you're not talking to the dead.
No.
See, that's what spiritists believe, that they're talking to the dead. You know, mm-hmm. They're going to get knowledge, or they're going to get consoled because they talked to Aunt Amy or whatever. And that's not who they're talking to. They're talking to demons, fallen angels. And I asked her one day when we were in the car, I said, who are you talking to in the living room there? I said, I heard that demon talking.
Hmm. And you could recognize it as that, right?
Yeah, I've done a lot of studying in apologetics. And that is the study of the defense of the faith, you know, the cults and the occult, and how to defend yourself against it or how to help others.
Mm-hmm.
And that showed me that, and I said, you know, that should show you, Mom, that what you were doing was wrong. But see, she couldn't see it because her faith was so shallow.
Mm.
You know, she just thought it was like the reverend.
Mm-hmm.
He thought that was okay because he's so shallow in the word. You know, you can't be that shallow in the word. You have to believe what you're reading. You know, it's not just a bunch of fairy tales.
Right.
They think it is. She goes, well, the word of God was written by man. I said, Mom, you'll believe the spiritists. You go out there and talk to them and do all that seance stuff, and that's okay because that's something you'll believe. I said, but you won't believe the Bible.
Because she believed that it was just written by man, like you wrote your book or whatever. But still, God inspired you to write what you wrote.
Yeah.
Just like he inspired men to write the Bible.
Right. Exactly.
People don't understand what that is, evidently. Well, you know, men write what they want to write. But not if you're under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
That's
right. You do not.
That's right.
It will not allow you to just write what you want to write.
That's right. Amen. I've got some other books written that I believe God inspired, too, you know.
Okay.
But that was really frustrating. She just kept on going to that church. And I think she finally gave it up towards the end, but she was in a rest home, too.
Right.
So she wasn't all there towards the end. So, but she's the one that kept nudging me, trying to get me to get rid of all those books in my library in there that I use for reference.
The devil went that far, huh?
Oh, yeah, trying to get me to get rid of all my Christian books and commentaries and stuff and a bunch of Bibles and stuff, you know. And I got files full of apologetic stuff.
Wow.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he wants me to get rid of all that, of course.
Yes. Yes.
I got some relatives that are Catholic, and one of them is Catholic and involved with the Masons. You know, but
what do you think about that Masons organization? Well,
it's a cult.
It's a cult as well.
Yeah. It's got a lot of problems. You know, and it's connected with Mormonism. So,
you did say one time that you thought that Mormons was the biggest type of a cult.
I think they are probably the biggest cult in the world.
Wow.
I believe they probably are. You know. I don't know who would run second. Maybe Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't know. But you got to get a person like I had just bought. I went to the Christian bookstore a long time ago, years ago. And Ed Decker, who is a former Mormon, and then he became an apologist and preached against Mormonism. And he made a couple of documentary movies called The God Makers. And you've got The God Makers 1 and 2. Those are the best measures you can take against it. And I actually used it for people that rode the bus. You know, when the Mormons came around, were knocking on doors, I had people asking me, you know, what about the Mormons? Mm-hmm. So I loaned them that VCR tape. And boy, that changed their mind about getting involved with the Mormons.
And good thing you were able to deter them away from that, yes. You know, before
that's
they the got involved.
That's
yeah.
the best time to get them is when they're just before they get really involved. Because once they get involved in it, it's very hard to get them out. You know, they become rock hard steel. So Satan knows that. It's just like if you start a ministry, you're doing evangelism or you start a new church or something like that. Satan, when you first started, that's what Satan comes against you so hard, because once you get established, it's really hard for him to mess it up, you know.
Right, get your foot in the door anyway.
So he tries to get in there and destroy it before it can get going really good.
Right.
That's why you got to hang in there. If you started, if you are inspired of God to start a new church, be sure that you're going to run into a heavy opposition at first. So stay in prayer and, you know, and really ask God to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a person involved that's called to evangelism, they go through the worst afflictions, you know, fires and afflictions and stuff. And it's very hard sometimes, you know. It's like that stuff with my mom. I don't think Satan would have been messing with my mom if I didn't have a calling on me, you know. But there's some people he don't bother because he's already got them.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing for him with a lot of these people is he doesn't want them to know that he exists.
And that he's evil.
Yeah.
Pure evil.
Well, you wouldn't have believed that demon that was talking to Mom, you wouldn't have believed it was evil. It was a female voice, and it was very nice and courteous and everything, you know. I can't remember anything that it said, but I know it was trying to be nice, you know.
And you recognized it as a demon.
Oh, yeah, it had to be. There was nobody else in the room.
Shh.
You know, it was really strange. You know, you don't have that kind of experience very often, you know. But it happened. That's just like you having all those noises and stuff, you know. We have experiences like that.
Yeah.
I remember one time I got involved with the wrong person, ended up in the wrong room with the wrong woman, and I eventually, you know, broke it off and started trying to repent and get it right. But one day I went to lunch from work, and I was coming back, and this car pulled up next to me, and this guy that was driving was right over here, you know. I remember this was on Main and Center. And he turned around and looked at me, and it was like, like something out of The Exorcist. Oh, man, you talk about scared. He terrified me, you know.
I'm sure he did.
That happened a couple of times during that time. You know, like, Satan was angry because I was repenting. And he thought he had me, you know.
That's right, because you were atheist, of all things, right?
Not then.
And not then? You had already turned, right?
Oh, okay. I've been a Christian for quite a while. I just fell.
Okay.
You know, I just fell into sin.
Okay.
And I think God allowed that so I wouldn't do it again. Because I went through the most horrible anxiety when I was trying to come out of it. Now, there were times when I had agoraphobia. I was afraid to leave the house, you know. I felt like there was this pressure on my head. I didn't think I was ever going to come out of that. You know, but eventually survived it all.
Now, can you link that to the spirit of fear? Okay.
Well, I believe that's what happened with the exorcist fear. I was definitely had a spirit following me around, putting fear on me. You know. Like I said, the guy that was a friend of mine, supposedly a friend, he liked that stuff. Now, he's the one that suggested we go see that movie. And we'd be going down the street, and I told him, I said, that movie scared the bejeebies out of me. They scared the you-know-what out of me. And he would turn around and go, start growling and stuff, trying to, you know, mess with me. Wow, some friend, huh? So, and he did that kind of stuff. Well, one day, after I got saved, me and him ran around again for a while. I got out of the Army, and then we got back together. And when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was at an Indian meeting, and I got the outpouring of the Spirit there. And and the Lord got to him, and he said, "Man, I experienced that exorcist fear that you felt." He said, "I am really sorry I messed with you, because that was really bad. You know, I've never experienced a fear like it." Mm. You know, I didn't think there was such a fear.
Oh, yeah, it's torment. Fear is torment, yeah. And the Bible tells us about
that. It sure
is. And it also makes it clear that he is not the author or the beginner of fear. I am not the author of confusion. You know, and fear causes confusion. And he says, "I have given you..."
I haven't given you...
"The spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and of a sound mind."
Right.
You know, and it torments you. I know people right now going through that spirit of fear.
Yeah.
I think
a lot of people are afraid because of the last days.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the virus and all the things that have happened in the last few years. And yes, they are signs that the tribulation's approaching. But I remember, I was, like I said, one day I was watching the news on TV. I just got saved. It was only about 6 months after I got saved. And I laid down in my bed and I go, and no one, that was Dan Rather who was on.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long ago it was. And I was laying there and go, "Lord, you're just going to have to protect me. There's all this stuff that's happening." And there's a lot of stuff happening back then, too. Even Mount St. Helens and Jim Jones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Those aircraft, C-130s, took off from North Carolina, where I was at. There, I saw them fly over. They were going to Africa to the Jim Jones thing to pick up the bodies. But anyways, I laid down in the bed, and I was moaning and groaning about, you know, the last days. And the Lord spoke to me out loud. This is the only time I ever experienced this. Out loud and directly to my mind, you know. He said, "Fear not." And that's all he said. And for a few seconds, like maybe a minute or so, I totally understood the Trinity. So the Trinity's for real. I couldn't comprehend it now.
Mm-hmm.
But with his Spirit, I saw that the Trinity's for real, you know. So it's just nothing God can't do, you know.
Right.
So that has really helped me over the years, you know, him speaking to me like that, because if God says fear not, then you have nothing to fear.
True.
You know.
True. Right.
If we do have to go through some terrible thing, he'll give us the grace we need and the power we need to get through it, you know.
Yes. Yes. And I just really pray that people that are listening may be going through some of the things that you have spoke about today, Jeff, the symptoms of the spirit of fear and how it manifests itself in a believer's body. It doesn't mean that you're not saved. It does not mean that, you know, or you're not on the right side of the fence, or you're not following God.
Right.
That spirit of fear it's in you.
Mm-hmm.
It's in you. So, because I remember when I went through it, you know, I was anointing the top of my doors and my windows, pleading the blood of Jesus, doing my prayers and all that type of stuff. And went to bed thinking everything was good, and I could hear footsteps.
Yeah.
Coming down my hallway. I'm in the bed.
Yeah.
Sleep. Trying to.
It makes you, like, go stiff.
I'm like, what? I can hear footprints.
What you did? You know, you got stiff?
Yes. Like, and the floors are creaking. I'm hearing them, you know? And I'm like, how did you get past the blood? That's what I was thinking. How did you get past the blood? But the fear is in you. So.
Yeah.
And that's what made me realize it was in me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was manifesting in the house, whatever I was afraid of.
So how did you deal with that?
Oh, how did I deal with that?
Yeah.
Through prayer.
I remember I woke up one morning, you know, when the virus was really heavy. They were talking about it all the time. And I had this horrible fear come over me. Like, oh, man, this virus is just going to eat me. And I just started praying and praying and praying, and finally it went away. But sometimes it ain't easy to get rid of it.
And I'll tell you something else that really, really helped, even with prayer. Acknowledging what it was and who it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the spirit of fear. And I had to say, I know who you are, spirit of fear. And you have no more power here. I am not afraid.
Sometimes God will tell you what to do.
Evidently,
like
he must have told me.
A Christian friend of mine about this demon talking to mom, and I said, you know, I don't know if that demon's still here or not. You know, if it is, it's not talking to me, because I know what it is. And she said, well, just put on some Christian music.
Mm-hmm.
So I put some Brooklyn Tabernacle on, and oh, I just felt this release. You know, like, demons don't like to hang around where there's good Christian music around, you know. They're terrified of us, really, the demons. If we realize who we are in Christ, they're absolutely terrified of us.
Yeah, and you just... And that's sort of like the thought I brought today, even though everyone might not agree with it, but dance and happiness keep things light, because sometimes we allow things to penetrate too deeply in our spirit,
mm-hmm.
especially like fear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm afraid of this, and I'm afraid of that.
It's easy to get that way.
Yes, it is. And people don't understand. Fear manifests. It manifests in people. It can manifest as a person, or an object, you know, that you may be afraid of. It is nothing to play with.
No.
It will have you in the psych ward thinking you'd have lost your mind.
Neil Anderson, who wrote a lot about demonic oppression,
mm-hmm.
and he said, God brought a lot of people across his path to help them break, and God just breaks the chains. But he said, you know, you got to come to a realization that it's just Satan trying
yes,
to get
fear. Yes, it's the devil, yes.
He said that, I don't know how true it is, but he said sometimes if people who are witches, people who are involved in witchcraft and all that will get together and try to put a spell on you, from somewhere, and you don't even know who they are or nothing, and you'll just feel this oppression come over you, and you know, and you just have to ask the Lord to rebuke it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying you should rebuke it, but ask the Lord to rebuke it. You know,
I've been there too.
Yeah, we have to learn this stuff. You know,
I've been there too, but I think the most important thing, the most powerful thing was, I acknowledged.
Yes.
It was, and I stopped it in its track by letting it know, I know who you are.
Yes.
You have been uncovered. You have no more power over me.
Yes.
You know, and I stood firm. Just like the verse I was telling you about, I ran across this morning. Be steadfast and immovable,
yeah.
Always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Yes.
And I just stood firm. And eventually, it just left.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a much
left.
Different life as a believer than an unbeliever,
yes,
isn't it? Because
yes.
You're an unbeliever, you don't have a clue.
No, you don't.
Not even a clue, because it's the Holy Spirit that opens your eyes.
Yes.
When you're a believer. You know?
And he opened my eyes to exactly what it was, you know. So now I try not to get so fearful of anything. I try to keep my thoughts light and think on things which are pure and holy and things that will help encourage me and empower me, you know, and that's what we need as Christians. We need each other. We need one another.
Yes.
Because when we are together, we gain strength.
Yes.
As a body of baptized believers in Christ Jesus. And we need that strength in these last and evil days. If we're afraid, how can we help those that need help to
yes.
come into the kingdom?
That's true.
We can't. We
that's
would not
very,
be able
very
to.
True.
So we can't be so afraid of what's going on in the world, because God said, he said, what did he tell the disciples? Now, don't be surprised. I've already told you
yeah.
these things will happen. And we have to remember that. Christ has told us in His Word what will happen.
Yep. He's given us an overview in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. An overview of the last days in the tribulation.
Yes.
And in the course of the book of Revelation. You know, and there's other stuff in there, even in the Old Testament, about the last days. The very important events. They're designed to, all these things that will happen, designed to turn people around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and see all these terrible things happening. Let's turn to the Lord and ask Him for help.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times they won't, but some will.
Right, right.
You know, narrow is the gate, straight is the way. Few there shall be
that find it.
And that's only because of their heart condition.
Right, and broad is the road that leads to destruction.
That's
and
right.
Many, many are on that road.
Most.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what the word says. Many are on that road. Even if you say most, same thing. Many people are on that road thinking they're saved, thinking they're going to heaven.
A lot of them do, yeah.
Yeah, they do. I'm going to heaven.
I'm a good person.
Right.
I haven't robbed anybody.
Right. No,
I haven't conked nobody in the head, you know.
But you know, Jeff, I never thought that. I used to think, well, I'm going to hell with my friends. They'll be there. You know, we're all doing...
Some people think that way, too, yeah.
But then I thought, you know, later in life, I'm thinking, what was I thinking?
I don't know. I had this guy riding the bus that had always wearing a shirt, you know, I'm going to party in hell.
Mm-hmm. You think, right? They think.
I don't think you're going to be doing that. I think you're going to be alone. You know, I think it's going to be really hot.
Being alone with your thoughts and your convictions that you rejected Christ and what He did for you on the cross and how He saved you and gave His life for you and shed all His blood. And it wasn't enough for you to receive Him and thank Him for it.
Mm.
But those are the ones that are on the road to destruction because they will not receive Him.
In 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, that's Satan, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. That's his main goal, is to blind you about the truth of Christ. You know, it's such an obvious truth. You know, but you can't comprehend Christ until you get saved, really. You finally come to it. Not just getting saved, you know, in your mind and making a mental assent, but you come to a realization,
mm-hmm.
a total realization that Christ is the answer. That's why I wonder a lot of times, you know, you run into preachers' kids and people who have been in church all their life. Sometimes I think they would have been better off if they would have been in the world and got saved, because in church they're like insulated.
Mm-hmm.
And they think just because their dad is a preacher that they're going to be sliding into heaven too. But, you know, you've heard all that stuff about preachers' kids.
True. And you have to know God for yourself. You can't go.
No.
I can't go on what you know about God.
That's right.
I can't go on what my mother or my father may have known about God.
That's right. Or
the preacher in the church.
Right.
I have to have my own individual relationship with Christ and seek Him out for myself, that I may know what is the good and perfect will of God.
That's right. Amen. That's really good.
Yeah. A lot of people think, like you said, I can ride on my dad's coattail. He's a preacher. But no, you cannot. Each one will have to give an account face to face with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
But they say, my dad's a preacher. I say, don't let that stop you from getting saved, because you need to get saved. We all do. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born into sin.
Yes, we are.
Must be born again of the Spirit.
Yes, absolutely.
You know? But they don't want to listen because they love their sin too much.
True.
They're comfortable in it. That's when you're in real trouble, when you're comfortable in your sin, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you talk to some people, And you know they're not born again, and you try to explain stuff to them, and they just misconstrue the whole thing. You know? Some of the crazy stuff they come up with, you know? I have one relative say, oh, I've studied sociology and all that stuff, and I really don't need all that religious stuff, you know?
I don't either.
Yeah.
I'm not religious, right? And that's another misconception. Christianity is not religion.
No.
And if you consider yourself a Christian, it doesn't mean that you are religious. You are supposed to be characterized or known as a baptized believer in Jesus Christ.
Well, you can't really rely on the church that much anymore.
Right.
It's a great portion of Christianity has fallen away, as predicted in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So you got to have your own personal relationship with Christ.
Yes. Yes, you know? You do.
Because you may get up one morning and turn around and find out that your church has fallen into apostasy, mm-hmm. fallen away from the truth. And you got to keep your own personal walk with Him and
right.
not allow them to drag you down.
Yes,
I don't know why people don't recognize the apostasy that's going on, but they don't. They don't see it for one second. They're totally blind to what's going on in the church. Some of it's subtle, I admit it. You know, it's really hard to figure out. You may have to be in a church for 2 or 3 months before you can figure out if it's fallen away or not.
Well, like you know? It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
That's right.
And that's what has happened to the church. A lot of people have conformed to the things of the world. The culture is drawing them. You know, they're paying more attention to what's going on in the world instead of what's going on in the kingdom of God, the body of Christ.
Well, some people in my church went to these meetings that different churches were having, and so I went with them to a couple of them, and I could tell that both of them were totally apostate.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these meetings, I told that to the pastor, and he already knew it really, but I said there was this one where this pastor was using the GD word.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, where does he get off using God's name for a curse? That's what the world does.
Right.
You know, but they think they're so cool. They're going to get along with the world. You know, they're going to be friends with the world. And you can't. You can't always please the world, you know.
Yes.
So I remember going to work a lot of times and people be hostile for no reason. Well, the reason is because they know you're a Christian and they don't like it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
It makes them uncomfortable in their sin. They don't want to be uncomfortable in their sin. They want to be comfortable in their sin. You know, and you're rocking their boat. But that's the way it is in this world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always please them. And you shouldn't try, really.
No.
You shouldn't try
to please
them.
They are not the ones we're supposed to be trying to please.
Stir anything up on purpose.
Right.
But I got to the point where I didn't care if they were offended.
Guess what?
Time.
We are out of time for the first hour. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Jeff, for your input. And it's just been really a great show this morning. And hopefully you will stick around for the second hour. And that begins at 11:15. This is Linda Sims here on WGH Talk. Name of the show is A Voice of a People, doing Bible study with Jeff Porter. Like I said, next hour is from 11:15 until the top of the hour, 12 noon. So we're really looking forward to those of you who can be a part and tune in and listen in. Till next time, be blessed. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio.